All right. Well, I talked a little bit about the awesomeness of God, and as I was walking through my house, I heard the wind shake and move. I don't know about you, but about blew me away when I was going to church this morning, and it tried to move. We've got like a, it's not attached to the house. It's a awning, patio, what is it? A patio cover with legs. I don't know how to describe it, okay, but it's like homemade, and I put like plastic sheets across it. And so the wind just whips right underneath it, and it just like drag. You know, you could just hear it drag according to along the concrete. And I thought God was going to tear the roof off of my house. It was just awesome to see the power that God. Even when it's just a little bit windy, you could see the power of God. Well, this morning we talked about God and how awesome that He is, and we let Louis Giglio talk to us a little bit, and he shared with us about how little we really are in this world, that we're on this wonderful blue ball here. Yeah, and I mentioned this morning that in a couple weeks I'm going to be in Australia. I'm going to be on the other side of the planet. It's going to take me, a 22-hour flight time to get over there, 22 to 24-hour flight time to get over there. And because of the time change, when we get over there, we lose like an extra day. And then when we come back, we sort of gain a day. It's really kind of weird. But it takes forever to get all the way across when you're doing 700 to 800. I don't know how fast those jets go. Miles per hour, and you go this fast to go all the way around the globe, go all the way around the planet. This world is so big. But when you start thinking about it, when you start seeing it, and what Louis shared with us this morning is that really our planet is tiny, itsy bitsy. It's really, really little. And he started showing us how our planet is in our whole solar system. Okay, and in our solar system, Earth isn't the smallest planet, but it's not it anywhere close to the largest planet. So he starts and he shows us, Mercury and Venus, and gets up to Earth, then it jumps, to, I don't know, what it would jump to Neptune or whatever. And as you start seeing the planets, Earth becomes smaller and smaller, and it gets up to Jupiter, and that is huge. It's huge, Jupiter. But then as you keep going, it goes past Jupiter, and then he shows us how Jupiter is in comparison to the sun and how awesome and size and scope that the sun is. And that you could take a golf ball like this, and if the sun was 15 feet across, you could take a golf ball and you would put it over to the 15-foot sun, and that's what it would be like. And we would be like this little bitty speck on this golf ball. And that just goes to show you how massive our solar system is. But see, that's just that. Then he began to say, now let's look at the different stars. And he started to compare our star, our sun, to the other stars in the solar system. And he was going one by one and one. And pretty soon, our solar system, including our sun, became so small that comparison to some of the stars that are in the universe, it's so insignificant. You can't even put a dot. As they shown the biggest star that we know of, or one of the biggest stars, now I think it's like second or third biggest star, is called Canis Majoris, and it's massively huge. And in comparison, if you took it, if you were to cover that screen with Canis Majoris, you couldn't even see or put a speck of what our solar system would be in comparison. And the Bible talks about how God spit out all these stars. When he spoke life into existence. See, there's some Christians that don't believe in the Big Bang. I believe in the Big Bang theory. But not like some people teach it. See, the Big Bang happened when God spoke and the stars flew out into the heavens. So large, so huge, we can't even comprehend the size of what God did when he spoke. I found it quite interesting how big our Milky Way galaxy is. He began to describe the Milky Way galaxy and how large it is. You know, the Milky Way galaxy, if we were to travel, if I could get into my truck and I could put it into hyperdrive and I could go 186,000 miles per second, not per hour, per second. If I could take my truck and go 186,000 miles per second and start from one end of our galaxy to the other end of our galaxy, it would take me 100,000 years to get to the other side. So if I was living on one side and you were living on the other, don't be looking for me to come around anytime soon, because it's going to take me 100,000 years. And that's if my truck can go 186,000 miles per second. See, some people say, well, I believe that there are aliens. Anybody believe that there are aliens? Does anybody believe that there are aliens out there? You can raise your hand if you believe that. That's okay if you believe that. But I tell you what, I'm not sure that they're going to be able to get to this planet, because I'm going to tell you something. It takes a long time to even get out of our own solar system, much less get out of our galaxy. Scientists tell us that there's between 200 to 400 billion stars in our galaxy. Now wrap your head around that. And the largest one that we've been able to see, one of the largest, is Canis Majoris, which, like I said, was just you can't even imagine how big it is. You can't even see our solar system in comparison to seeing Canis Majoris. It's so huge. But here, this is what I think really will blow your mind. Because not only do we have 200 to 400 billion, that's billion with a B, okay, stars. That's not solar systems. That's not planets. That's stars. 200 to 400 billion stars in our galaxy. There are approximately anywhere from 150 to 200 billion galaxies. Now you do the math. You go ahead. I don't think my calculator will go that high. How many stars are they? And what does the Bible say? That God names the stars. Isn't that great how big God is? I got a text from a friend, and I know a friend of many of you. And again, when we can give the name out, we certainly will. But they lost their daughter. She's in her 20s. And I've got to tell you, I'm not sure what to tell her except, you know, that she's with God. She's with God. And one of these days, we're going to figure out all of what happened. But we serve a God that's so big, that's so large, that's so huge, that we can't even comprehend how he's going to work all this out. But he has it all worked out, because he spoke, and in an instant, 200 billion galaxies came out of his mouth in a big bang that shot out. And the scientists will tell us that, you know what, even if we could travel at 186,000 miles per second, even if we could get a ship that would go that fast, we couldn't catch up. We'd have to go faster, so we'd have to go at least two light years per second. We'd have to be able to do 300,000 miles per second. Even if we could do that, even if we could reach the edge of the universe where it is at right now, even if we could do that, which there's no way we're going to be able to do it, but even if we could, by the time you got there, it would already be gone, because the universe continues to expand. It keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. God is a big God. Well, isn't God? God has to be a big God if he can go to a cross and he can shed his blood and he can die on a cross for you and me. It takes a big God to be able to wash away the sins of the world. He is a big God. Now, that's what we talked about this morning. Now, this is what we're going to talk about tonight. That not only God is he a big God, he can go as far as he wants to go. But then he can come back and look at you and me and know everything that we do every day, everything that we go through, Every problem that we have, every time we lose a loved one, he's there. When you don't know what to do next, he's there. When you can't pay your bills, he's there. When you don't know what to decide, how you're going to do this, how you're going to get through this, how am I going to make it? You know, I can't tell you, I don't know how you're going to make it, but I can tell you there's a God who knows how you're going to make it because he's that big. But he can shrink himself to become like one of us. And he even goes deeper and smaller to show you that he's here. That he's here. I want to show another video. This is, again, we're going to invite Louis into our presence, and he's going to go microscopic. Now that's pentatonics. Turn up a little bit, please.
So, introduces himself to me, says, "How are you doing? I just want to say hello." I said, "It's nice to meet you." He says, "You guys are winding the tour down. Where are you going to go from here?" I said, "We're on our way back home to Atlanta, Georgia." He said, "Well, what's next for you?" I said, "We're going to be preaching the next 2 Sundays for my pastor back in Atlanta." He said, "Oh, cool. What are you preaching on?" I said, "Well, the series is on the glory of God in the human body." He said, "That's really amazing.
Oh, okay.
It's
all right.
And he's kind of being kind and gracious and like, "Oh, that's good." And then he says, "Well, what's your big left hook? You gotta have a left hook. Big finish." I said, "I don't have a left hook yet." He said, "Oh, Louie. Oh, man, your left hook is laminin." And I'm totally blank on laminin. And he goes, "Louie, it's a cell adhesion molecule. Protein molecule? Do you know about proteins?" I'm like, "No." He said, "Louie, cells organize into certain molecular structures, and that determines what protein there are. There are between 10 and 60,000 proteins in the human body. We don't even know how many proteins are in the human body. But one of them is a cell adhesion molecule. It's organized into this certain structure, and that tells the cell what its job is in the body. And this one, it's a cell adhesion molecule." I'm like, "Right." He said, "No, Louie, it's like the rebar of the human body. The steel they put in the concrete when they lay the foundations of things, it's that stuff. It's holding your membranes together. It's the glue of the human body, Louie. It's laminin. You got to tell them about laminin." And I'm like, "I promise you, I'm going home and tell them about laminin. And I'm sure when I do, revival is going to sweep across the church and probably around the world when I tell them." He said, "No, no, no. You've got to see laminin." "Okay, let's see it." He said, "No, you need to go look it up online. You need to go Google laminin." I don't even know how to spell laminin. He takes his card out, he writes in the back, L-A-M-I-N-I-N. Okay, I cannot wait to get to my computer and get on Google, click on images, type in laminin, and I'm waiting, and these little thumbnails come up on the screen. I'm like, "Wow, that's laminin, the cell adhesion molecule. Woo! I am so excited. I am beside myself. I cannot believe what I'm seeing. I love laminin. I'm so fired up. You should see laminin, I guess. That's the thing. holding the lining of your organs together, holding your skin on, is in the perfect shape of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And immediately I'm thinking about the words of Paul in Colossians 1. You know this beautiful passage where Paul's talking about the supremacy of Christ and the sufficiency of Christ. He says, for by him, talking about Jesus Christ, all things have been created, things in heaven and things on earth. All things were created by Jesus and for Jesus. But then the next verse goes on to say this. It's crazy. And he, Jesus, is before all things, and in him, that is, in Jesus Christ, all things hold together. That's right. It's right there. I'm like, of course they do. Of course they do. Everything holds together in Jesus Christ. And he goes on at the end of this paragraph, and he just tells the story of grace. He says, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Christ, and through Christ to reconcile to himself all things by making peace through his blood shed on the cross.
Well, somebody ought to say amen to that. Amen. Now, I know you're going to be skeptical. There's skeptics out there. There's going to be skeptics out there. And you're going to say, you know what? That's just a coincidence. Well, you can call it whatever you would like to call it. I call it another way God shows me that he's there. You know what? If you were taking a look at some of the images from the Hubble telescope, and you go into some of the there's just so many different galaxies, and you can just see pictures of galaxies, the ones that are closest to us. This is why I don't necessarily believe that. I believe that God could have another creation somewhere if he wants to, but his focus is here on this people here. Now he might have other creation somewhere. They'll probably never be able to get here because it would take so long. Our nearest galaxy neighbor, I figured it out. It would take me over a couple hundred thousand billion years to get there in a jet airplane. The nearest galaxy over, that's how long it would take. You're going to have to turn me back down again. But he comes even to the smallest molecule. And I love that laminin illustration, that is the molecule that holds our bodies together. That if it wasn't for that, we would seep out and we would just become a puddle, except for laminin. I want to read that scripture that Louis mentioned. It says this, and it's talking about Jesus Christ, talking about Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. So if we're talking about the furthest reaches of the galaxy, Jesus created that. If we're talking about the biggest star, Canis Majoris, or Canis Majoris Part 2, whatever we're talking about, Jesus created that. If we're talking about our own planet and those oceans and the depth of the oceans and the mass of the mountains, the Himalayas, the Rockies, Jesus created that. And he created you and me. But as big as God is and as great as he is and as awesome as he is, and as much as he blows my mind when I think of the stars that he created, as much as he blows my mind when I think of how he put my body together and he knows the most intimate details of my body, even down to the smallest atom that causes me to be able to have life. Even when you consider the fact that he knows everything that is possible to know, this is what makes him so awesome, is his love causes us to come down and look on this little blue ball and look at each one of us and say, I came to die for them. The Bible says this, and this is one of the most famous scriptures. It's one that we see at ball stadiums, ball game stadiums. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's just take a moment and think of what everlasting life is, what he has provided for us, the one who created Canis Majoris, the one who put the Pacific Ocean. You know, it was so cool whenever I'd look in the book of Job, and he says, you know what, Job, let me tell you, are you able to tell the ocean to stop so far and it can't go anymore? Can you do that? No, I do that. And all he can say is, I have nothing to say. That's all Job could say. I have nothing to say. See, how many of smart people are we got in here? How many of you smart? You know, you've got it figured out. You got all the problems in the world figured out. You know, I know you do because I see you on Facebook. You got all the problems figured out. You know exactly how you're going to get things done. In fact, and you like to tell other people about it. Well, listen, I'm no different. You know, I've got my opinion. But boy, I see so many opinions on Facebook. I'm going to tell you something. There's going to come a day when all those opinions are going to fall at the feet of Jesus. And he's going to say, aren't you special? Don't you know that I had that figured out long before it ever came to pass? And he's going to put his arms around us. He's going to tell you, I love you. The one who created all this, the one who put that molecule in there so our bodies wouldn't fall apart, is the same one who said, I'm willing to die for them. And he came, and he died on the cross, and he rose again. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. In Christ all things consist. There's a lot of people that want to push God away, and the world's trying to push God away. And I want to tell you something. They don't want God to go away, because if God were to go away, everything would fall to pieces. The reason that our stars are in alignment right now, the reason that our planets can rotate around the stars and rotate around the sun, the reason our planet can do that is because he holds it all together. Everything consists by him, and he keeps it all together. If he were to leave this planet and his spirit were to be removed from this planet, it would turn into chaos overnight. Not because there aren't decent people who live. Yeah, there's decent people, but they're led by their flesh, and unless they're led by the Spirit of God, they don't have the understanding. Completely blind. But see, God, Jesus didn't just die on the cross so that someday we could go to heaven. He died on the cross so that he could send his spirit back here, so that the very spirit that created all these things that we were talking about tonight, the very spirit that created the stars in the heavens and created the molecules in our body, that very spirit comes to live inside each and every one who will receive him. And it's by that Spirit that we have our anointing and our power. It's by that Spirit that we have power in our prayer. It's by that Spirit that we're able to tell someone about Jesus, and that the Spirit draws them to him. It's only by the Holy Spirit. We've sort of jumped off a cliff into an ocean here on Sunday nights to do a worship service. We sort of jumped off into a cliff, and we're saying, God, catch us. God, move in us. Because if anything happens, it's going to be you. If anything happens, it's going to be you. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. Our God is awesome. And he's worth our lives. And if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in here tonight, if he's not your Lord and Savior, then you don't have anything. And I don't mean to put down all of your possessions. I don't mean to put down all that you may think that you have. But without Christ, it all comes to naught, because his desire is that everything that we would claim to have would be of God, and that would live foreverlasting. Now let me give you another example of everlasting, so we can see how big God is. 10,000 years from now. Well, let me just put it in easy terms. Okay, I'm going to be honest with you. Some of you young people, please don't judge me. Don't judge me. All right? Don't. Jesus is the judge. I'm going to be 59 years old this year. 59. Someone said, who in the world had him speak tonight? He's too old. He's too old. 59. Don't judge me. Because I can still run a 2-minute 100-yard dash, okay? So just don't judge. I can still do it, all right? You know, you want to race? I'll race you, you know. Sure I will. I didn't hear that, so I'm not going to laugh, okay? I didn't hear that. If I live another 20 years on this planet, I'll be doing good. Another 20 years, I'll be 79. That won't be too bad. That's a pretty good life. But in 20 years, that's nothing, man. That's like a blast of your nostrils in time. If I live another 1,000 years, man, that's a long time, isn't it? That's a lot of lifetimes, isn't it? 1,000 years. Hey, that'd be all right. Some of us would sign up for that. The song Amazing Grace says, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining is. I love that the song that we sang that talked about amazing. You know what? As you can sing about Amazing Grace 100 different ways, and it's beautiful every time you sing it. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. I love the last verse. You know, the last verse really wasn't on the original. Wasn't on the original album. I'm just kidding. It wasn't an album, okay? It's just a sheet of music. It was on the last verse was not on the original CD, okay, of Amazing Grace when it first came out. That last verse, when we've been there 10,000, that was added later. When we've been there 10,000 years, think of 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise. Isn't our God awesome? Isn't he big? Isn't he huge? The biggest part about him, the hugest part about him, the largest, awesomest, most awesomest, bestest part about God is that he could do all of this yet still love me with an intense love that I cannot even comprehend. And he wants to give me everlasting life. Because I don't have many days left. Even if I live 50 more years with medicine, you know, 50 more years. Some of you are going to say, oh, God, I hope he didn't live that long. God, I'm getting rid of him. If I live that long, that's not many days. It's not worth giving up eternity to live the way you want now. Give your life to Jesus Christ. And not only will he bless you with eternity, he will bless you in this life. It doesn't mean everything's going to go good. We know a godly person who lost a daughter. Trials and temptations will come. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is sitting with her right now. Jesus is sitting with both of them and the whole family. And at the same time, he's sitting here with us as we grieve and we worship. I'm just going to ask the worship team to come forward. And I don't want to go into this emotional thing just because of this. One of the things, this is a little bit different service. You may not be used to this kind of a service, and that's okay. But this service is meant to be a time of worship, and I just want to take a little bit of time to worship. And if God is ministering to you and touching you, you can just get on your knees right where you're at. But if you need prayer, I want you to come up. We're going to sing, and as we sing, I may be inviting you to come up if you need to come up and get prayer. Listen, our God is awesome. He's worth having. And if you don't have Him, you need Him. And if you've had Him but you walked away and you want that relationship to be rejoined, He wants it to be rejoined more than you do. Yeah, but I was a Christian and then I betrayed the Lord. Well, join the club. I know a few people who haven't betrayed Him at some point in their life. I don't know of anyone who hasn't fallen and sinned in the presence of God. And you know what? He knew you were going to do it from the foundation of the world. When He created this planet and blew Canis Majoris into the sky, He knew your name as He knows the name of every single star that He's placed in the sky. He knows your name. And if you're in need, you can just get on your knees right where you're at. If you need someone to pray for you, I'll be up here to pray with you. We're not going to be much longer. They've got a clock on the back wall that I get to look at. Not so that I can rush through my sermon, but just so I can tell you, it's not 10 o'clock yet. We still got time. Listen, if you want to know the Lord, don't leave this room without knowing Jesus. I'm not the greatest evangelist in the world, and I don't need to be, but Jesus knows where you're at right now. And if you want to meet with Him, we're going to worship and give you that opportunity. As we sing,